Time to get started tonight. Good to see you here on Wednesday night, prayer meeting night. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to have family altar time at the end of the service tonight. And so we want to make sure we get started good on time. Brother Dante's been keeping me reminded of prayer time. Sometimes you get going and you're ready, you do what you normally do and you forget. So he's come to me every time and said, "You forgot." So I'm not going to forget tonight. Anyway, we're glad to see you here in the service. We may have a few more to come in here directly. Let's all stand together as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song.
All right, number 324. Steve's been playing it up here. 324, take the name of Jesus with you. Everybody, grab a hymnal. Let's sing together. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, thank it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. Tongues employ, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of man, precious name.
Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need.
Isn't that wonderful? Man, you all sound good tonight. Praise the Lord. You must have slept good last night or something. Sounds wonderful. I like to hear good congregational singing. I love it. I love to hear the notes. I like to hear the words. And I love to hear you sing out. It's amazing the difference it makes when you don't have to look at a book. Even if you know the song in the book, but when you're singing a song that you're not, it just sounds so much better. And I appreciate that good singing tonight. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Father, we're grateful and thankful to be here tonight. Lord, there's not a better place to be on Wednesday night than the house of God. There's not a TV program or a sports game or anything else, Lord, that can match the opportunity and the blessing of being at church on Wednesday night. Father, I'm glad for all who have come out tonight to be here. They've been faithful to come tonight. We're so glad for that. And God, we pray that you'll bless the service tonight now, the singing, the congregational singing already has been a joy to my heart to hear. And Lord, we're looking forward to the special tonight and then, of course, the Word of God. And we ask you to bless the prayer time. I have many, many prayer requests to be praying for tonight. And so, God, we want to take some time around the altar at the end of the service to do just that. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll bless the remainder of the service. Give us all clear hearts and clear minds to receive from heaven that which you'd have us to have. And Lord, we love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated. And let me mention several things here as far as prayer requests are concerned. Of course, we want to be praying. Brother Steve Morris has his surgery tomorrow. It's about 10 a.m. Tucson time. So that's 1 o'clock in the afternoon here. And so maybe around noon or so, if you want to be praying, and I hope you will. Are you want to? All right. So, ladies, you see Miss Judy after the service if you want to be involved in the prayer time tomorrow for Brother Steve. There's cancer in his prostate. There's no doubt. What we're really praying for is that it's not anywhere else, because if it's contained, it can be taken care of pretty easily. He and I talked with him yesterday. And, you know, when you hear somebody having what many would say was a routine-type procedure, it's routine when it's not you. When it's you, it's like major, major, major. So I tried my best, and to my knowledge, I didn't say it. I said it just now, but I didn't say it to him. No, Brother Steve, this is just a routine, but it's not. It's really not, and especially when cancer is involved. And so you pray for him tomorrow. You ladies can see, but men, I hope you'll be praying tomorrow as well. Brother Sonny Brand, good to have Judy here tonight. The neighbor's actually keeping an eye on Sonny tonight, so she could be here. And we're glad to see her here tonight. Clifford Tucker is still in ICU at Richland. They still have not really determined what's wrong. He's still on the ventilator, but it's a portable ventilator, so he's up walking around. And so we're hoping and believing that he's beginning to recover. And then, of course, Tommy Wright, Brother Melvin's nephew. Brother Tim's sister, Lois Denson, is up in Spartanburg. They've been here, visited several times. She is real faithful to watch on our live stream there in Spartanburg. She's having some pretty major surgery, Brother Tim said, on the 3rd of August. So a few weeks off, a couple weeks off yet. But let's start praying for Lois Denson. Then Brother Melvin texts, he's sick today. Gail's at home sick today. So we want to be remembering these folks in prayer. Don't forget, Saturday is Sewing Saturday. So we want the men to be here at 10 o'clock. Let's go out and knock on doors, weather permitting, if it's not raining. We'll go out and knock on doors. Brother Tim, he's having some knee problems, as you know, so we're going to get him some just regular visits to make while we're out knocking on doors. So I hope you'll take that two-hour block from 10 to 12 and come and join us. We'll go out and knock on doors and hand out tracts and tell folks about Jesus. All right, that's on Saturday. And then, of course, our regular service is on Sunday. And then Monday morning, two things. The teens, the youth will be leaving to go to Bible camp on Monday morning early. So we want to be praying for them. What's the name of that camp again? Well, okay. And so they'll be leaving out early Monday morning, so be praying for them. I think altogether have 7 are going. Is that what you told me? Adults, 5 kids and then 2 adults. And so 7 are going, and so we're praying they'll be gone all week. Come back, I guess, on Friday. And so you pray for them. And then at the same time, say a little prayer for me and Brother Steve, because we have to ride to New York City with Joaquin, and he'll be driving. I think I asked him a week or so ago, I said, how long did it take? He said, which way you mean? And I said, you know, if you're driving normally, he said, oh, what did you say, 12 hours, 11 hours, something like that? 10 hours. See, he's already driving. He's already got it down too. He said, but Pastor, if I'm driving, we will get there sooner. So anyway, Brother Joaquin and Brother Steve and myself are going up there to help Brother Richard do some work in their church and some flooring work in their church and at his house and his kitchen. And they got all the stuff there they just needed. So we volunteered to do that. And I appreciate Joaquin. But of course, Joaquin's really the brains of the outfit. Steve and I are just going along to kind of help and do whatever we can do. But looking forward to it. I asked Brother Steve to go because I so want them to enjoy some good music. We'll be in the service Wednesday night. I'll be preaching. And they normally don't have a piano player. The lady they did have for some time moved to Washington State. And so they didn't have a piano player. Well, he's told me since that there's a young man in a Bible college who's interning there for the summer who plays, but he can't be there all the time. And we're going to take Steve up there and let him hear some of that old-timey, I won't tell you what Chris Murray called it, that good Southern gospel music, you know. And usually when they have service in the summer, they leave the doors open. So Steve will be banging on that piano, and who knows what might walk in the door while he's a-playing, you know. But anyhow, we're looking forward to going. We'll be leaving Monday morning. We'll be back either Thursday or by Friday for sure, just depending on how quickly we can get the job done. And so you pray for us while we're up there. It's a work trip. We're really not going to sightsee or anything. Maybe one evening we may can go downtown or something. But we really want to try to help these folks out. And Brother Richard's been good to us, and we've tried to be good to them. Of course, he's one of our missionaries that we support there in New York City. I saw the news, and I meant to – I don't know how to keep – if you see something on your phone, I don't know how to take that picture and keep it. I have no clue. Okay. Anyway, screenshot. I don't know what that is. I have no clue. Everybody, well, thank you. Where were all of you when I needed you the other day? But anyway, the reason I said that is because I was going through the news thing on my phone, and there was said the caption, a miniature tornado over Brooklyn. And it showed a picture of one. It was coming out of the clouds, got about halfway down, and that's where it stayed for a little while, and then it never touched down. But I didn't even know they had stuff like that up there. Of course, we're going to turn loose Hurricane Joaquin on them when we get up there. But that's a whole nother ball game. So anyway, I didn't have any idea in a city like that. I'd never heard of that before, in where the buildings are and all of that. So anyway, it was kind of a shocker, and I wanted to keep it so I could show Judy. She might have seen it. But I thought to myself, you know, I said, she said, I'll miss you next week. I was going to show her that tornado, so she'd really miss me next week, you know. But anyhow, we're looking forward to going up there. So you pray for us. Brother Tim will have the Wednesday night service next week. He'll be doing the speaking. And Brian will lead the music, and John will be here to play. And so we got everything covered. It'll just be for that Wednesday night. So we're really excited about going up there to help Brother Richard. Brother Richard's so kind and so humble a man. And he's already talking about there's a place up there called Junior's. I'm telling you, it is world famous for its cheesecake and a bunch of other stuff that we found. I'd never heard of it. We went, and then he took us to dinner there. I'd never seen so much food brought out at one time before they took our order. So I told him, I said, now, Brother Richard, you going to take us to Junior's? He said, I'll take you to Junior's. So we're scheduled to go and to Louis Italian Restaurant. I'm talking about, sure enough, real Italian, down on the part of Brooklyn where the mobsters live. Where their mothers live. That's right, where the mobsters' mothers live. The man that owns this place, Louis, he knows Brother Richard well. He came over and talked to us a little while, and he told us, he said, we don't have any. He said, when you get done eating, said, why don't you walk the block a little bit? Well, you know, and I think Richard said, well, I don't know if we want to do that. He said, nobody's going to bother you here. You get the drift? He said, nobody's going to bother you here. Said, praise God. So anyway, we're excited about going, but we really want to go and try to do as much as we can to help the church and get this done for them, and we appreciate the opportunity to do that, okay? All right, I think that's all. Is that all, Brian? Did you have anything else you need to mention? Anybody else have a prayer request tonight that you'd like to mention that I failed to? Anybody at all? Yes. All right, they do this ladies' meet twice a year, don't they? Yeah, so you remember those. So Judy's been there before, and Martha goes I think you're at every one they have. And so pray for them. And then, Brother Steve, you actually, I think you work with that, Steve, the brother missionary? Steve Green. Over, and I guess it's over at the women's, I know you don't work there. What's it called? Correct Care. Brother Steve works for them, and he travels all over the country. And we had a good visit with Steve and Christy last night at their home. He's a CWP instructor. He was 25 years in the police force, in law enforcement, and retired. Now he works for this company, travels around and sets up these correct care, I guess, care facilities and corrections places, and so he does that. And then they told me, said, and I also do CPR. And I told him, I said, well, man, if you're CWP, I said, we got a bunch of them in the church. I said, we're covered. If anything happens, I said, we're covered, but if you want to bring yours, you go ahead. He said, well, I'll be glad to. He said, in fact, he said, after I shoot them, I'll save them. So, there you go. So we get two for the price of one with Brother Steve over here. But anyway, had a wonderful visit in their home last night, and glad to see them here tonight. All right, come on, Brother. Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, her father passed away 2 weeks ago. They were in Alabama this week on a kind of a vacation, so glad to have them back. I guess Shelton's working tonight. So anyway, glad to have them back. And I do appreciate your prayers and all. Sent a real pretty flower. Peace Lily was beautiful, and I appreciate the church doing that as well, okay? All right, Brother Tim, come on ahead.
Well, before we sing another song, we're going to take care of some other business here. We've already recognized birthdays this month, but we've got a special birthday today. Ramona, stand up back there. 85 years old today. I said she didn't look a day over 80, but just remain standing. And then the two Starling boys stand up, and they haven't been here when we've sung to them. And so they both have birthdays this month. And is there anybody else who, Chloe? Chloe.
Should be one.
Look up here. 1 year. Okay, that's it. All right. Anybody else who was not here when we sang the birthday song? Let's sing Happy Birthday to these, okay? Sing out.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, happy birthday to all you folks. Well, number 302 is familiar to you, but let's stand and sing, Oh, It Is Wonderful to Be a Christian. Number 302. Sing it like you mean it, though.
Life has purpose now it never had before. There is meaning to each day and even more. For a joy and peace I can't explain is mine. Since I found new life in Christ my Lord divine. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. I can go directly to the Lord in prayer. He has told me I may boldly enter there. And He listens as His promises I plead. I find mercy there and grace for every need. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. And the hope of heaven's glory thrills me so. Where I'll live with Christ forevermore, I know. That is why the things of earth I loosely hold. I'm eternal rich is better far than gold. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled.
All right, let's have a little time of fellowship.
Yeah.
Hey, Pastor White, how are you?
All right. Thank you so much. If you'll finish shaking hands and find your seat, we'll have the ushers to come. Take care of the offering this evening. Come on, Brother John, Brother Jonakin. All right. This is our Wednesday night offering, of course, as you give to missions. The first weekend in August is when Brother Douglas will be coming to install our new missions board, the digital missions board. You are going to love this missions board. I'm telling you, Brother Steve Williamson has one in his church now, and just like the one we're going to have. And we went over there for the Low Country Fellowship, and he had it on his wall displayed just like it'll be on ours. I'm telling you, you can't believe all the information you can put on. I mean, and the kids will be able to use it, be able to interact with it, actually touch it, and not, you won't say, "Don't touch that." You actually want them to touch it. And, you know, I mean, we don't want them to try to haul it off the wall and haul it home, but we want them to touch it and move the screen around. See, it really helped. Brother Steve told me, he said, you can't believe the difference in our people's recognition of missions and missionaries, because it'll be eye level, be where you can touch it, move it around, you can pull somebody up, read their bio. I mean, you know, Sister Susan's going to have a heyday putting that thing together. It's got so much stuff in it, you know, stuff I could never figure out. But anyway, that'll be the first weekend in August. We'll be here on Friday and Saturday. They'll be here in the service Sunday morning before they head back. So that first, I guess it's the first Sunday in August, the 4th or 5th or whatever that is. It'll be up. It should be, unless something happens. We've got all the stuff here. We're just waiting on him to get here to install it. And so you're gonna really love the digital missions board and the way that'll be set up. You'll really enjoy it. All right, let's pray for the offering together. Father, we ask you to bless now the offering tonight as folks give. Lord, we pray that all that we do, Lord, we're looking at stewardship month in the month of August. Lord, already begin to prepare our hearts to understand, Lord, not only the command of tithing, but also the blessing of tithing and giving, Lord, above and beyond of missions and other things. And Lord, many of our folks are good givers and they tithe and they give above their tithe. And Lord, but still, it's good to be reminded as often as possible, as often as needed, Lord, why we do it and what the Bible says about it and why it is so very important to the work of God and to the ministry that folks are faithful and obedient givers. So we ask you to bless the gift and the giver tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Playing now, and piano bench okay. All right, I've never seen a piano bench with bow legs. All right, well, thank you guys for that. Before Pastor comes tonight, Brother Joaquin's coming to sing for us.
He lifted me, and what His grace can do for you. Saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime. Love now is sweet and my joy is complete, 'cause I'm saved, saved, saved. He saved me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on His mighty arm, I know He guide me all the way. Faith by His power divine, faith to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. When poor and needy and all alone, in love He said to me, come on to me, and I lead you home to live with me eternally. Saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved.
Made it, and I wondered if it was going to happen there. Thank you, Joaquin, straight from his singing school tonight. All right, thank you. Get your Bibles ready to listen to Elsa Pastor.
Wait till we turn that loose in Brooklyn. I'm telling you, they're not going. All right, wonderful, Brother Joaquin. As he was getting to the end, I thought, wait for it. Boom, there it was. Yeah, Brother Joaquin, the good thing is he believes what he's singing. And that's more important than knowing the tune or having the notes, is believing what you're singing. Amen. That's got a message. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to look at two verses of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, in writing this first letter to Corinth, is setting the order of the church, how they were to behave in the church, in the local New Testament body. You got to understand, this is all brand new to these people. And so they need some instruction on how to act, how to behave. And I'm not just talking about sitting still or, you know, not going to, I don't know if they had the same problem in the first church of the New Testament with the, you know, people going to the bathroom all the time stuff. I don't know. But the point is that there were ways that God required the order of worship to be done. Not a program. I'm not talking about that. But, you know, these people were saved out of some pretty wild worship-type experiences. Most of the Corinthian believers, if they were not Jews already, were saved out of Roman or Greek idolatry. They all had grown up with their gods, the Greek gods and the Roman gods. And then there were people in there, because it was a trading center, that brought gods from literally all over the world. So when these people got saved, you got to understand that what they got saved from was literally all they knew until that point. And so now, and they'd all learned as they grew up the rules and regulations of whatever religion they belonged to. Well, now they belong to a brand new religion called Christianity. And the Bible is being written as they were being saved. And so when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth and then wrote another one later to continue to help them to understand how it was to be a Christian and how to live. The Bible, 95% of the Bible is written to the believer because it's our instruction manual. It teaches us how to live. The other 5% of Scripture deals with the unsaved because, when you tell somebody about the gospel, there's nothing else to tell. You know what I mean? You give them the gospel message and there's nothing to add. But once they come to know Christ as their Savior and start living for God, there's a whole universe of things that God wanted to teach them. Not only from the Old Testament about legalism and all of that, but in the New Testament, mysteries like the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ, the communion, the miracles, the things that were happening in those days. At the very second letter to Corinth, describes the fact that now once that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. So a lot of things that Paul wrote about early on are no longer necessary in the New Testament church. But I want you to notice verse 33 with me.
chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, page 1224, actually 1225 across the page, and look at verse number 33. The Bible said, "For God is not the author of confusion." God is not the author of confusion. Doesn't mean that people don't get confused. Doesn't mean that Christians don't get confused. But no one can ever blame God for the confusion. Now, the Bible talks about how that those who are not solid in their faith, solid in their doctrine, can be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Something comes down the pike that sounds a little better or looks a little better, and they jump ship and they go to the next one and the next one. Well, obviously that means that they never were really saved in the first place, and or they were so weak in the faith and such babes in Christ until they were easily persuaded to go in another direction. How many times have you heard people talk to their children about, you know, don't take candy from a stranger? Why? Because that's what they like. And so the devil knows what to offer people to get them to stray away from what is normal operating procedure. And so that was the thing here. So he says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And then notice, as in how many of the churches? All churches, the saints. So what Paul is talking about here, again, we're not going to go through the whole book of Corinthians now, but you should read it, because that is something that God gave not to just the church at Corinth. This letter written to the church at Corinth, but that doesn't mean that they're the only ones that had to go by it. Galatian church, the Colossian church. I mean, those letters were written to those churches. One letter was written to Titus, one, two to Timothy. And so that doesn't mean that Timothy was the only one that had to obey those two books. Doesn't mean that Philemon had to obey that one book or John. What it meant was, you are the means by which I'm going to deliver the message of the New Testament church, the church to grow and continue to grow, and for people to know how to live for Jesus Christ. So then look down in verse number 40. Let all, how many things? All, there's that word again. Let all things be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. Now, we know from the book of Genesis to the Revelation that God has set His Word in order. Now, it doesn't mean that the books were written in the order you see them, obviously. The book of Job, for example, in the Old Testament, is the oldest recorded book of the Bible. I'm talking about in recorded, being written. Now, of course, Genesis is the first because that's when everything was made. The book of Job was written before Moses wrote the books of the Pentateuch. And by the way, that's one reason why we use the book of Job, for example, when I deal with a Jew, when I deal with a Hebrew. I always try to mention the book of Job to them because Job understood not only about the law, not the Ten Commandments, obviously, but keeping the law of God, obeying the Lord. He understood about Jesus Christ. He understood about when I die, when the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh will I see God. I mean, he knew something about the rapture, something about going to heaven when he died. And all of that came about. He learned all that before the Ten Commandments were ever even considered. And so obviously God's way has always been the same way. Now, he's interjected throughout Scripture. He's put throughout Scripture meat to the bones. And so that's why it's important to read your Bible every day. And that it's not, like a novel where you read it once and there's nothing else to get from it. You know, you've read the story, you know the ending. And so now there's no need to read that book. So what you do is you get connected with a particular author. They write more of the same type of book, but the circumstances, the plot's different. The characters are different. Well, the Bible is the same. It's the same yesterday, it's the same today, and it'll be the same forever. And even though the pages are the same, the words are the same, but they're different. So much more different, you know, people are ascribing to our Bill of Rights as a living, breathing document, but it's not. It was written on a piece of paper with ink and pen, inanimate objects. Thomas Jefferson was not inspired by the Holy Ghost to write any part of the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence. Those forefathers were not in any way inspired to write those words that they would be infallible. Now, do I believe that they were inspired by their belief in God to pen words that I think God would be pleased with? Absolutely. Absolutely. Brother Steve gave me a book tonight that I'm really looking forward to reading. And this brother has written, by the way, Judy, I told you that Joel wrote it. He didn't. He's giving it away. I misspoke when I told you that. But it's supposed to be a great, I can't wait to read it. But this brother, Kanas, has written many books and on different subjects. And so sometimes, for example, I love H.A. Ironside's books. I love Dr. Seitler's books. I love Oliver Green's books. Now, guess what? They don't all agree on everything. That's why those things are good to get seed or thought. But guess where you need to go to get the meat? Go to the Word of God. And that's why it's written the way it is. And one of the things that God put in His Word for the Christian is, number one, as I read in verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. We were talking last night, Brother Todd, and I heard somebody say this. I don't even remember who it was. I didn't come up with it, but I heard somebody say it, and it's right. They were talking about the King James Bible and how important it is that the King James Bible be preached and taught and really put out there. And, of course, as you know, since 1900, there's 123 different versions of the Bible. Now they're coming out with the gender-neutral Bibles, where he, him, and his are now out. They came out earlier with she, hers, and her for God. Now they're just taking the gender out altogether. And it's human person, you know. In John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world, it says, for a human person so loved the world. Well, number one, God's not human. The Bible said he is spirit, hath not flesh and bone. And he's way more than man could ever think of. But the point I'm trying to make here is that God is not. And how many of you remember years ago? I don't know anybody's ever done it. But you remember when they used to do responsive reading in church? Now, I remember that those things that you did that were in the back of the hymnal. But now, in our church, now, we didn't do it that often. Brother Jack wasn't big on doing responsive reading. But he'd really get plugged into a passage of Scripture. And so he'd get the whole church stand. There'd be 600 there on Sunday morning. And he'd read a verse and we'd read a verse. And do you know, we always heard it the same way from everybody when we did a responsive reading. You know why? We all used one Bible. Can you imagine doing a responsive reading now with six different Bibles in the congregation? You know what that would create? Confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. And so, and then he goes down to that verse 40 and he says, let all things be done decently and in order. God set the order of the universe. The Lord gave the order for creation, as we know in Genesis 1. The Lord established order in marriage and in the home. Brother Steve touched on this with the presidents and the king and the order of things, the way God set it up in a kingdom here in our country, in the home, in the church. God has an order. He set the order. Man did not do that. Man has changed the order, and that's why there's confusion. But God set the order, and when you go do it God's way, it's always going to be done decently. Because it's in order. So God set order in the universe, in marriage, in the home. He set in order the Aaronic priesthood in the Old Testament and how the tabernacle was to be erected. I mean, God gave instruction on all of that. Divine order doesn't just mean structure and organization. It brings confidence and direction in our lives. Now, we do not have a bulletin or a program, I should say. A lot of churches will actually plan out in advance the songs they sing and when and how. And you know, I guess if you like that, that's okay. I don't like that. And the reason I don't is because all of a sudden that becomes so ritualistic in the church until they never deviate from it. And it's almost like you got to write in somewhere, Holy Ghost, get in here if you can. Because now it's all like that. It's all got one, two, three. You cannot deviate. I mean, if God laid on the song leader's heart to do another song, he dare not do such a thing. Because it's already written, it's already wrote down in the bulletin. I'm telling you, there are churches that are, they'll get sideways with you if you try to change their order of service. We don't do that. We do have an order. We try to do it the same way. But if God gets in a song, hey, let her roll. If somebody testifies, I mean, I've been in churches where they had, and somebody just got way off base and stood up and started testifying in the service, and it threw the whole thing out of kilter. I mean, it was like they didn't know how to recover. They didn't know what to do next. You know, I know what to do next. Let somebody else get up and testify. Amen. Just let her roll. I believe that's the way God intended it to be. It is ordered. It is not in order, but it is ordered of the Lord. God touches somebody's heart and they shout. That's ordered of the Lord. We don't push a button and say, okay, let's see. Martha's in chair number 12. And so I'm going to say something really good here. I'm going to push this button and Martha's going to shout. We're not going to do that. By the way, I don't know if anybody's ever done that. So that might be a little off line a little, but anyway, you understand the illustration anyway. I heard Mase Jackson on the radio about a week or so ago on Saturday night. They play his messages on TBI at about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. I was in my office and he was preaching, and he was talking about being in a church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the church had asked him to come up there, and he was really talking about dead churches, you know. And he said, I went to church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the preacher and some of the folks asked me to come up there and preach a meeting. So I went up there. He said that thing was dry as last year's bird's nest. He said he couldn't hardly get a holy grunt out of nobody. And boy, they were so prim and proper, you know. But he said, I got to preaching in a big way one night. And so there was an old woman, about 80 years old, almost at the back of the church, who got excited and got up and started shouting right there. They'd never heard nothing like that. Said, and Brother Mase kind of stepped back, you know, let her do her thing, you know, Brother Mase. And the pastor was sitting behind him and tugged on his jacket while she was shouting and thanking God for being saved. And the folks were just like aghast. And he leant over to see what the preacher wanted. And the preacher said, Brother Mase, you need to sit her down. He said, you know what I did? I turned around to him. I said, Brother, I didn't stand her up, and I'm not going to set her down. Amen. That's right. And just let her go on shouting. I mean, you know, when God's in it, don't get in the way. You know why? Because it's ordered of the Lord. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you place an order. And then when they bring it, you know, they don't yell from the kitchen, here comes your hamburger. Oh, they put it on a plate, and it's in some type of order. You know, they don't just mix it all up. I mean, you might when you get it, but they don't do that. You know, there's this here, and you know, they try to make it look as pleasant as they can because you placed an order, and so they want to do it in order. And so when it comes, that's your order, right? If you don't get your order, guess what you do? You complain. So why? Because it's not what you asked for. You know why sometimes God doesn't bless us like He wants to? Is because we mess up the order. Come on now. He has ordered our steps, Bible tells us. And if we're not walking the way we should, then we've messed up the order, and He has every right to complain to the kitchen. So it's not about the structure of the ministry or the organization necessarily, although all of that is important. It's about the confidence and direction in our lives, knowing that when we're out there doing what God wants, that He has ordered our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so when we're doing that, we're obeying Him, and when we do that, our life is decent and it's in order. You really want the peace of God in your life? Start living decently and in order. I mean, preacher, I'm not talking about the way you, I'm talking about just obeying God. Just obey God. As you're doing that, He is ordering the next step. And He's ordering the next step. The Bible said that the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my what? Pathway, meaning I'm going somewhere. I don't shine a light in the path just to see where I might be going. I shine a light in the path to see where I'm headed. And God has ordered our steps, as I said. Matthew's gospel gives the order of some things. And you don't have to turn, but just for example here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, before worship, listen, this is God's order. Before we can worship, we need to be right with our brother. God ought, leave a gift at the altar, go get it right, come back, and we'll talk. That's God's order now. Man didn't make that up. Matthew didn't think of that. Matthew was a tax collector. God inspired him to write that order. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, before material things, He has ordered spiritual things. What does it say? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then. So that means after the fact. And then all, how much? All these other things shall be added to you. I mean, that's a promise from God. That's the order. You put God first and everything else second. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, He sets an order before judging others. We are to judge ourselves. Yeah. You know what the Bible said? That judgment must first begin at the house of God. So we better be, checking out our own catalog before we start trying to figure somebody else's order form. Say amen right there. In Matthew 23, verse 25 and 26, remember what Jesus told those Pharisees? He said, on the outside, you're clean and garnished. But on the inside, you know what that is? That's out of order. You're an open set. That's out of order. Don't fix the outside and hope the inside will follow. What Matthew chapter 23 says is you fix the inside and the outside will take care of itself. Amen. So you see then that it was always God's intention to set order. He didn't. That's why this thing of a big bang is so dumb. I'm sorry. But there is no order in an explosion. You can't go in a laboratory and create a constructive explosion. I'm telling you, you cannot do it. An explosion does not create, it creates a hole. It creates havoc. It creates injury and death. But it does not create something out of that explosion. So this idea that somehow everything went boom and here we are is the biggest bunch of hogwash that Satan's ever lied about. In the beginning, God created and set it in order in 6 days. And He never needed TNT. He didn't need a hand grenade or a howitzer. Man. And He didn't need an amoeba, a slimy amoeba, to slip up on the land and lose his tail and then slide up a tree and get one and swing out and be Uncle Joe and Aunt Bessie. Because, by the way, if the theory of evolution was scientifically proven fact, how come they're still not evolving? I don't remember the last time I went down there to the Columbia Zoo. In the middle there, and you hear all them monkeys out there? I've never heard one say, I believe I'll go to work today. I've never seen one wear a suit and a pair of shoes. I've never seen one evolve. Come on now. Oh, they've got some dumb explanation called constructive evolution. Please. I mean, you're just putting both feet in your mouth then. You're just poking yourself in the eye. Why don't you just believe that somebody did it and that somebody's God? He set it in order. Amen. What evidence, and I'll give you three things quickly tonight. I've got about 6 minutes. The introduction is way longer than the outline. But I want you to understand, folks, that we are living in an age where God, listen, if we ever needed to be living in order, it's now. There's so much disorder and division and chaos and just crazy stuff. But you know what the Bible said? In the last days, perilous times come. We're in them. Not coming. They're here. Now, to what degree and to what extent they will flourish before Jesus comes, I don't know. That's between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But one day it's going to cross the line and Jesus is going to come back. That's why we have to be busy, busy, busy. And now more than ever, we need to show them order. So what evidence does the Scripture give us that needs to be found in our lives that would indicate that we're walking in God's order? Well, real quickly, turn to Psalm 119. Beat three things here and I'll be done. Psalm 119. Look with me at verse 133. Psalm 119, verse 133. The first evidence that will prove God's divine order in our lives is that we're walking a moldable heart. A moldable heart. In the New Testament, the Bible talks about man having a stony heart, but how that the Word of God can make that stony heart fleshy. It's soft again. Look what it says in verse 133, Psalm 119. It says, order my steps where? Thank you, sir. In thy word, he said, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Here's the way it's supposed to be. God is in control of our lives and it helps us to keep sin in subjection. Helps us to, it's not, this is not the way it works. I'm going to do like I want to and tell God I'm sorry, and then I'll get control of it for a while. You know what that is? That's out of order. That's out of order. David said, order my steps first, not in the kingdom, not in the constitution of Israel, not in some books that were written, but order my steps in thy word. You see, when the word of God becomes a big part of your life, you become moldable. You remember Silly Putty? Do they still make that? Do they? And so long. So you know where you could put it on a comic and peel it off, the picture would be on there. And then, of course, little kids, you know, they decide to try to chew on it. Some of them did like it. I'm not chewing on putty myself, but I don't even know if they still made the stuff. But the point was, you could do it Play-Doh. You know, they had all those different things. You could mash it through, and it'd come out like a star. I'm really dating myself now, ain't I? But you remember Etch-a-Sketch? I just thought I'd throw that in there for fun. The Bible said we're to have a moldable heart. If we're walking in the Word of God, the Bible said your steps, my steps, will be in order. What happens when you walk out of order? You trip and fall. You ever done that? You ever get kind of turned around, or you get your feet tangled up? You know, and the first thing we want to do, we fall down and say, why'd you do that? When nobody did, you did it yourself. You just got your big feet tangled up. I do it all the time. Get my feet going up steps. I forget to pick my feet up. My big toe gets hung up on the stair. Down I go, and I think, dumb stair. Like the stair went, oh, here he comes. Let me trip him. Oh, I was out of order. Oh, now, dumb car. And I know some of you have done that, so don't act like you haven't. Listen, let me give you this. Ordered steps reflect your actions. You will be what you walk. That's why you hear people say, don't just talk the talk, walk it. Because if you're ordered steps, you're walking, you're reflected in your actions. Ordered steps are ordered standing reflect your associations. Who do you hang around with? If you're in order with God, you be careful about who you hang with. You'll be careful who you listen to. You'll be careful what counsel you accept. Your order to the Lord, because if you're getting all that from God, there's not going to be room for someone to put junk in there. And then our ordered sitting, remember, was it Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so our ordered sitting reflects our attitudes. You know, what attitude do you have? Where you sit down will let people know what's going on in your heart. Amen. Now, come on. I like to sit down at church because I want folks to know I love the house of God. Yeah. But if I go sit down at the bar, guess what they're going to think? Hey, if I go sit down at the bar and drink water, you know what people are going to think? They're not going to say, bless his heart, he's drinking water. No, the word will get back to somebody here, and it'll get back to somebody else here, and then get to the deacons. The pastor's sitting down at the bar. Come on now. You know that's right. But if our steps are ordered by the word of God, then our heart, our feet aren't. But our heart is moldable because the heart is what directs our feet and our eyes and our ears. And notice number two, and I got to hurry along. Not only walking with a moldable heart, a divine order of God, if you're in order, but if you're in order with God, you'll be working with a meek heart. I remember the word meek. God said that Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. We equate meekness with weakness, kind of, you know, puny. Moses was a long way from puny. I'm telling you. Moses was a man's man. And if it wasn't for his sin at the rock of Horeb, he was 80 years old and his natural physical strength had not abated. He was living as though he were 25 years old. Who knows how long Moses could have lived? He sinned. He got out of order. So he didn't get to go into the promised land. But he still continued to be meek. And the word meek means strength under control. Meek is being in control. Is knowing, the Bible said to be angry and sin not. Did you know you can be angry and not sin? If the anger is controlled and directed by the order of God, because God's been angry, the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I tell you, I don't want God to be angry with me. Now, being mad is different. When you get mad, you do things you wish you hadn't done and say things you wish you hadn't said. Anger is controlled. Well, so working with a meek or controlled heart, strength comes from sound doctrine. If you know what you believe, you're not going to be fooled by all this stuff out here. And there's a lot of stuff to get fooled by. Strength comes from a sturdy devotion. I want to give you something here. You hear this word used often in religion, devout. That person is devout. You know what that means? That means they are practicing the rules of their religion constantly. And so they get the if someone is considered to be devout, they're really considered at the top of the religious. That person is really devout. Do you know what is not included in the word devout? You'd think it would be a root of a word that God wants us to use, and that's the word devoted. Not the same word. Not the same root word. They look the same, but they're not. Because someone who's devout practices works. Someone who's devoted will follow the order. Hey, you folks that were in the military, you know they taught you from the day you got off that bus to devote yourself to the military. Your mind, your body, your soul, your strength, everything for the time you're there, you are to be devoted. Now, if you make it a career, like Brother Joaquin did, someone or Brother Ralph, they could say, you know, they were devout military men because they practiced what they learned for a long time. But what made them really military men was that they were devoted to God and country. That's what strength can do. Strength comes from a devoted or a sturdy devotion. And then strength comes from a steady direction. God has set He's ordered our steps, hasn't He? Well, do you think for 1 minute that God's going to start you and then all of a sudden the way goes 45 different ways and then He puts a sign in the middle that says, figure it out for yourself? It's not what He does. Our steps are ordered. You know what that means? One, two, God put them in order. One, two, three, four, 5 million. 100 million, a gazillion, whatever, how many steps you take in your life, if you'll follow God, He has ordered, He's numbered your steps. And all, listen, when we were living in Michigan in those bad winters, when the school was out during Christmas holiday, me and my friends, we'd go down to the field called the Flats to play ice hockey, but not in a building, it was outside. And the Parks and Recreation would go down there and make free drinks. And the fire truck go down there and spray that water, and overnight it'd freeze just as hard as anything. And right in the middle, they put a big fire. The man would go down there every Saturday, and I mean early, dark. We'd go down there when it was dark and start that fire and put those big logs around. That's where you'd sit, put on your skates, and you'd put your shoes, your boots, or whatever. Well, there were times we'd go down through there, and by the time you got where we lived, we called it the Flats because it was down in a sort of a dip. So when we had a blizzard or big snow, when that snow would drift, you know where it would drift to? The Flats. So here we go down through there the way we always went. But we all knew, having lived there, what could happen after a big snow. So, you know, when you're small, your mother makes you put on that snow suit. Big thing, you know, that you can barely move in it. And you say, oh, God, I don't want to wear that thing. But, you know, and then after you get a little older, she said, I want you to put your boots on. You know, and like idiots, we're going to walk down there in our tennis shoes. You know, that's dumb. Well, we knew on those particular mornings, put our boots on. We'd tuck our britches in our boots because we knew there could be steps we would take that all of a sudden the snow would literally be up to our waist. We would just step off. Well, it didn't stop us. We just kind of pull ourselves out and keep going until we got where we were going. In other words, and you know what we did? Here's what we did. Whoever went first, you know, we didn't pick anybody to go, but just whoever happened to be first going down there, you know what the rest of us did? Because the one in front had to do all the work pulling his legs out. All we had to do was go in his steps. And it was already dug out. Now, you know, if this person had a big long gait, so we'd look kind of dumb walking down through there. We're going, you know. You know, people probably ride by and go, what's wrong with those kids? You know, golly. But we learned to make it as easy on ourselves as possible. Guess what? Now I'll be done. God has made it easy for us. You know why? Because Jesus has already been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's already walked through the drifts. Hallelujah. And you know what the world says? What's wrong with those people? What are they doing? We're trying to walk in the steps of Jesus because He ordered them. We don't go ahead of Him. If we do, you know what? We're out of order. We wait for Him to go ahead of us. We just follow Him. Well, I gotta quit. Walking, listen. If you're walking, if your steps are ordered of God, you'll walk with a moldable heart. You'll work with a meek heart, and you'll worship with a merry heart. And if you're spending time with God and doing like God, when you come to church, you can't help but just enjoy the service. The Savior is adored by genuine worship. The saint is blessed. saint is blessed by genuine worship, and the sinner is reached by genuine worship. In other words, got to be genuine. And you know how it becomes genuine? When we follow the order that God set. Sure, we start off a certain way, how we do our services, and sometimes people say, well, we do it the same all the time. Well, we do it that way because we want to be decent and in order. However, we always want God to get involved. And if He takes it another direction, bless God, we're not going to hold Him up and say, no, we got to sing page what or whatever, because that's in the bulletin. If Tim changed the song 55 times during the service, bless God, if he feels led of God to do it, you know what we're going to do? We're going to follow the song leader. When the Sunday school teacher changes his lesson midstream, the pastor gets a, listen, there, not very many times, hasn't happened very many times, but a time or two. I'm telling you, God has changed my message as I was coming up here. When I start to think about it, I go, I can't do that, God. I don't have any notes. But I'm one of those, I don't have that photographic memory or whatever you call it. And so I can't, I don't stand around all week and practice my sermon so I can memorize it. Because I got to have notes. There's been times when God's given me things while I was preaching. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's not my notes. And God said, I know it's not. That's why it's good. Because you don't have anything to do with it. And you know what I do? I say, okay, God, take her away. Take her away. I'm telling you, folks, God, there's no telling what God could do here at Anchor Baptist Church if we will commit ourselves to walking in order. Not worshiping by a program. I'm not necessarily talking about the organization or the structure. I'm talking about what David said. Order my steps in thy word. That's all there. And if we do, then that second part of that verse, sin won't have iniquity won't have dominion over us, will be automatic. I'm telling you. We fight sin by the acre too much because we're not walking in God's order. And then there's that sin, and we got to fight it! Oh, preacher, if you just knew how the devil's been on me today, if you'd have been walking in God's footsteps, he wouldn't have been anywhere nearby. You wouldn't have got hung up in the drift. Boy, I wish I could get out of this mess I'm in, preacher. I'm in a mess. You just don't know. I can't tithe and I can't do that. I can't be faithful because I'm in a mess. Then get in order. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the folks being faithful to be here tonight. God, just a moment, we're going to have prayer and get around the altar and pray. And got another piece of business we want to take care of tonight. Lord, thank you. Thank you that if we'll walk the steps of Jesus. There's an old hymn that says, we follow the steps of Jesus where'er we go. Footsteps of Jesus is the song. Help us to walk in those footsteps. Lord, when you order our steps, may we walk only in the direction that you send us. We love you and bless the moment of invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.